Hello and welcome to the Metro West Daily News Podcast. Today is Friday, March 31st. I'm Megan Kelly, the digital editor for the Metro West Daily News.
And I'm Bill Shaner, a reporter and co-host here.
So we're sitting here the last day of March. Looks like it's going to snow tomorrow. Very exciting. But in more pertinent news, Bill and the Milford Daily News reporter, Zach Como, sat down with two candidates running for selectman in Milford yesterday. So, Bill, why don't you explain what you guys talked about?
Yeah, the selectman race in Milford is actually pretty interesting this year. Four candidates running for two seats, one the natural three-year term, the other a two-year term vacated by Brian Murray. Yesterday, Zach sat down with the two candidates vying for that two-year seat, which are Mike Walsh. He's currently the chairman of the school committee. He's sort of a longtime player in Milford politics, a volunteer. He's always been around. And then Harold Rhodes, who hasn't held much in the way of official office in town, but was a big player in getting the bus service up and running in Milford, the Metro West Regional Transit Authority bus service. And that was sort of a year-long struggle last year, and he's been trying to capitalize on that momentum to take the selectman seat. So Zach talked to them about the issues in Milford. A lot of talk about immigration, which is sort of a perennial campaign topic in Milford. And
Milford has a lot of Ecuadorian immigrants, right?
Ecuadorian, Brazilian. It's similar to Framingham in the way that
El Salvador, right?
El Salvador a little bit.
Yeah.
Guatemala. A lot of South American immigrants and actually some Egyptians. It's a diverse place.
Yeah.
So
it's been a hot topic in Milford forever.
And with the recent federal actions on immigration and the posturing, you know, it's becoming even more of an issue. So that was definitely a big one. And then other municipal issues like purchasing the water company, stuff like that. So Zach sat down with each of them, and we're going to run both interviews, sort of a two-part special. First, this is Harold Rhodes.
So Harold, if you want to just introduce yourself and tell us what you're campaigning on and what you hope to do if elected.
Well, thank you very much, Zach. Thank you for inviting me to participate in this podcast. To begin with, I begin by always talking about the devotion my family and I have for this community. For many years, this community has done so many wonderful things for my wife, my daughter, myself. And it's been so important to me, Zach, to give back as much as we can. As you know, that for nearly 10 years now, I've been volunteering and participating in many organizations to improve the quality of life here. As you know, one of the very important things I worked on 3 years ago was organizing the community to bring transportation to Milford. At the beginning, people didn't give it much of a chance. It was, thought of as a very long shot, but, Harold, go try. And, worked on it for 2 years, and then, at last year's town meeting, it passed. And today, even according to, the recent reports in the Milford Daily News, the numbers are truly great and growing, and more importantly, it's part of our community, and it's done so well. As well, I worked very hard with the hospital to improve accessibility improvements for, our seniors and for persons with disabilities. That took a lot of negotiating and a lot of discussion over a period of time, but now our hospital is a better place to work. So to answer your question, my whole candidacy is based on improving the quality of life here in Milford. And improving the quality of life extends into many different areas for me. The first and foremost is tackling the problem of traffic. Traffic in Milford, for all of us who've lived here for many years, has just continued to worsen, and certainly as the Blackstone Valley has grown, it's continued to worsen. And everybody again says, well, it just can't be solved. So that's on my mind. We've got to find a solution, or else it's just going to get worse. The second thing is revitalizing downtown. There's some economic development which is going on, and it's slow, and the economy is improving. But I'm talking about a substantial improvement. An improvement that will, really set a difference for our hometown. The third is improving the transparency of town hall. There are things that if folks knew about, they would get more engaged and participate in more, and that's just a good thing for everybody to be involved with. So, I take on big projects. I work very hard to deliver them. I plan to be a full-time selectman. And what I mean by that is I will be available to everyone anytime they need. I'm not going to be having to have to navigate among different conflicting requirements of other boards, commissions, committees. That's just not fair to the community if I had to spend time in one place and then spend time in another place and not give my full attention to making an improvement. It's the topics I talked about, traffic revitalization. These are going to be big programs that are going to require a lot of energy to make improvements, and I'm just committed to doing that.
Okay. That's something that you and Mike Walsh have sort of disagreed on publicly. He said that he would not, micromanage town hall, and maybe stop short of accusing you of planning to do so. But what do you make of that disagreement in his comments?
Well, I think Mike misunderstands or has mischaracterized what I've meant by that. As I just talked about, our selectmen have done a wonderful job improving town hall operations, and we have a fine town administrator, and the department heads are outstanding. They don't need micromanagement. Mm-hmm. So what I tried to help Mike and others understand, and I hope folks understand this, is that the topics I'm talking about, like traffic and revitalization and big programs, are going to require a lot of time outside of town hall. Mm-hmm. Bringing together the community as I organize the community for transportation. Well, I spent full time on that. That's what I mean by being full time, is organizing our community, organizing other states, so other organizations. And so it's has nothing to do with micromanaging, and the mischaracterization is just not correct. Mm-hmm. Mine is to bring big improvements to our town with as much energy and passion and devotion that I've always delivered here in Milford.
Great. Speaking of big improvements, the town is negotiating with the water company. They've already agreed on a $63 million price tag. But a town meeting has not been set up yet. It seems like it's getting pushed off a bit as we're still negotiating. I believe you two have somewhat disagreed on, the best course of action for Milford to take in terms of, buying the water company or letting some other private entity buy them. What are your thoughts? Should the town, in fact, buy the company?
Well, you're exactly right. Mike and I have a different perspective on this. I mean, effectively, Milford owns the infrastructure, but we don't control it. Mm-hmm. And town folks who live in the town have no accountability, or there's no one in town hall that has accountability for the quality of the water. And we have no accountability for the rates. So I can't say more than what everybody else knows about the acquisition of the water company, but Milford is one of just a few communities in all of Massachusetts which does not own its own water company. And, there's a good reason why communities own their own water companies. First of all, when construction is required, we don't have, you know, Milford can either choose to do the work ourselves or put an RFP out to bring in the lowest bid. Our water company typically uses another construction company, which might not necessarily be bringing in the lowest cost. The second thing is, if we own it, we don't have to pay, you know, make a profit on it. So if we just start with those two things, saving money on the infrastructure improvements, not having to have to pay for the profits, if those numbers justify a price tag of, let's say, $63 million, you know, if we can pay off that amount of money through our savings, that's the first great benefit. Now, the second great benefit is the town now is accountable. If anybody in the community is unhappy with their water, they've got somebody to call. Right now, they can call the water company, but, you know, that's going to work or not work. And that's very important for people to feel that there's accountability in town hall for that. And finally, it's just a better way to manage construction. I mean, we've all seen it. A street gets torn up for electrical. Street gets torn up for new lights. Then the street gets torn up for sewer. And then finally, the street gets torn up again for water. Well, you know, we've all gone through four constructions, very expensive, but awfully inconvenient. By centralizing it all within the town of Milford, we'll do one construction and all of those operations will occur at once. So the efficiency will be much better. So I don't think yet Mike is, you know, gotten on to that point, but, you know, I think soon he will.
In terms of your own experience with their water company, I've heard, horror stories and, we have that issue, eight or nine years back with the E. coli. Is there a urgent need to step in and kind of fix things and within the water company?
Well, again, I haven't been privy to the ongoing discussion, so I don't know the exact structure of the issues, both positive and negative within the water company. Though, understanding those issues before the town meeting votes would be very important, so that if we do agree to purchase it for whatever price, we also know how much is it going to cost in the first year and second year, and who's going to be responsible for that. So the question's good, and it needs to be resolved, at a later time.
Right. All four of the candidates have said that they want the town to vote again on recreational marijuana sales in town. Milford, statewide in November, Milford voters did approve this by about 500 votes. How do you see that playing out if the town were to take another vote? And why are you willing to put that up to another vote?
Well, bringing retail establishments selling marijuana is falls into the category of quality of life and what people want as Milfordians and what kind of lifestyle they'd like. And so, several years ago, we had to have that big discussion on whether we wanted a casino. Again, a casino affects the quality of life. Mm-hmm. And instead of, just town hall deciding that, that decision was made by a referendum by the whole community, so that everybody could then, have a vote in how the quality of our life should go forward. And to me, this is exactly the same kind of topic. It's a substantial concern by a lot of people and requires, a townwide referendum to decide what direction to go.
I don't know if you're on any of these, Milford Facebook pages, but on a few of them, some people didn't like the idea of, a possible ban. Saying, the voters already spoke, well, we have to do this a second time.
Well, I think folks voted for the statewide.
Right.
And that certainly passed, and that gave permission to the state then to begin to make the rules and regulations mm-hmm. for communities to decide whether they wanted to have retail establishments of marijuana or not. So at that point, now it becomes up to each community to decide its own quality of life. Some communities like Westboro have already decided against it and had it, and other communities I don't know, but they can choose to do this. And you know, whatever the voters of here in Milford decide, that's our choice. And that's the great thing about it, is that we will decide for our own selves what kind of quality of life we want to have here in Milford.
I think it's safe to say that majority of the voters that approved this in November were your younger, millennial type voter. Not the same demographics turn out for your local election or local ballot question. How do you make sure that, you know, those same people come out so everyone's voice is heard?
Well, this is a big, important topic, and it will be well discussed. And I put it on par with the referendum for the casino. I mean, I can't remember the number for the casino, but it was very large. I mean, that vote was well discussed well in advance for months, and the pros and the cons were discussed. And it was, you know, well publicized. So I would really expect that when the referendum is held, it will get substantial interest by all kinds of people.
Another very important topic around these parts is immigration. Milford's had a very interesting past with immigration. I mean, there's certainly a lengthy history of it in Milford. We see some different dynamics playing out now. What are your thoughts on immigration in Milford?
Well, Zach, here's how I think about immigration. I first put it into two categories. First, legal immigration, and then illegal immigration. Right. And I have thoughts different. Milford has had a long history of folks coming to our community. And, you know, it's what makes Milford one of the most special places in the world is the combination of all the different cultures here. And that's well known and, you know, well understood by everybody. And we should continue to support that kind of legal immigration to our community. And you know, that vibrancy is very important. On the second topic, on illegal immigration, I talked with the police chief, and I agree 100% with how the police chief handles things, that the law is the law, and we just follow the law. So if the police encounter an individual who commits a crime, and it's determined that that person is in the country illegally, the police will send off the fingerprints to the, you know, to ICE and other agencies, and at that point they can send in a detainer notice, and that detainer is either 8, 12, or 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And if that agency then wants to take that individual into custody, that's exactly the right thing to do. If the agency doesn't respond to the detainer, or doesn't respond to even, you know, taking the person into custody, then it's just like anybody else who's committed a crime. Right. They go up to district court or whatever court, they get arraigned. And then it gets, the full treatment of the vigorous enforcement of the law.
Right. Other communities, Framingham has started to briefly, discuss some kind of sanctuary policy. There's a sanctuary state bill in the state house that has, around 90 lawmakers supporting it, not including any of Milford's law, delegation to Beacon Hill. Now, how do you see Milford moving forward if that bill is passed, and what makes Framingham different from Milford?
Well, let's be sure everyone understands what that term sanctuary city means.
Right.
And in the most general sense, the term refers to how the police handle an individual who's in the country illegally and has committed a crime.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, the police in many communities choose not to send the fingerprints off to these other agencies like ICE. And that's most generally then referred to as a sanctuary city, so that any person who's not here legally doesn't get reported to any of the other communities.
Right. But those laws vary from place to place.
And that's exactly right. So I, you know, for me, I hope our state representatives and, you know, people who represent us continue to support you know, what we have today. I think what we have today is exactly the right way to handle it. And, you know, the vigorous enforcement by, you know, our police chief and that handles it. The only thing I'll add to that is I think we need to, you know, reinvigorate our neighborhood task force. Now, that in itself will deal with a lot of other issues that people have concerns about immigration. And I don't know, you know, if we've really done a good enough job in the last, you know, several months in that area. So I would like personally to see our neighborhood task force really reinvigorate and do a much better job in that area.
And that task force is related to, you know, overcrowding and housing, et cetera.
Right.
Yeah, Milford seems to be pretty conservative on this issue. I know, as you know, west of 495, it's, you know, much of the same. But yet Milford still voted democratically in the November election. Interesting dynamic. What do you make of it?
Well, you know, Milford has had a rich history of being fiscally conservative, but mm-hmm. socially moderate.
Right.
And you know, for some people that, you know, that presents like, how could we be both ways at the same time? But it brings the best of both worlds. That on the one hand, the town is run so very well financially, and unlike so many other towns, mm-hmm. Milford is the envy of so many other communities right. because of the fiscal conservatism. On the other hand, you know, Milford is innovative in so many areas that you know, is a testament to the town leadership to bring these things. So I put it down to the smartness of being pragmatic and flexible to understand what a quality of life people want here in Milford.
Great. Another you know, topic that gets a lot of press, the opioid epidemic, specifically in Milford. Chief tells me that there were 48 overdoses in 2015. With 4 overdose deaths, and that jumped to 92 in 2016 with 15 overdose deaths. So far this year, there have been 22 overdoses and 1 death. So, you know, pretty much on par with last year, but, you know, we still have, you know, 8 months to go. How do selectmen, you know, tackle that issue, and what's the role of selectmen in doing so?
Zach, you bring up a very personal topic to me. We have close family friends whose daughter is one of those in the opioid overdose category. And watching how that family went through it, going up to that, dealing with it, and now dealing with it afterwards is a tremendously imposing issue on a family and everyone that they know. So it's a topic I personally care about very, very much. What the selectmen did last year in terms of beginning to fund, putting out money to say, okay, let's start a regional community effort on this. And I think it was either $26,000 or $28,000, representing $1 per head. Mm-hmm. And then working through the Community Health Network Association to get a grant, which turned out to be, I can't remember exactly, but I think it's like $52,000. Yeah. This is the way the selectmen need to do, is to continue to encourage other communities to join in with us, because it's a regional-wide issue, mm-hmm. as well as seek all the money we possibly can get to, you know, help people through what is, you know, a very difficult topic, and try to avoid incarceration,
right.
because that's when it just, everybody loses on that subject. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I commend the selectmen for what they've done, and I commend the direction we're going in, and now we just need to grow that and continue to do even more, okay. to do all that we can.
Anything else that you wanted to get out there, anything you want to clear the air about? You know, any, you know, final words for voters as we, you know, get into the election day?
Well, there are two topics I just want to have everyone have a good understanding of. You know, I've received several of Mike's mailings, and, you know, Mike's mailings always say that he is a fiscal conservative. And the reality of it is that the first proposed budget that came from the school committee was for over 6.5%. They have well above what would be the normally expected 2.5 or 3%. And, you know, while I know the number will be less than that 6.5%, just the concept of coming forward with a number like that is just inconsistent with describing yourself as being a fiscal conservative.
Right.
So I hope people understand that, you know, when I talk about that, it's really honest with me. And, you know, I have a long history of, you know, finding other people's money, donations, contributions, philanthropy, not taxpayers' money, to do things here in Milford. And the last thing is, being a full-time selectman is a passion for me, to do everything I can to help our community. And with that devotion, I hope to make a tremendous improvement in the quality of life here in Milford.
Back to the school thing, you've kind of you know, mentioned that the high school was lowered a level a couple of years ago. You know, and what the school committee is asking the finance committee for is just, you know, the money they need for all these rising costs they have. You know, is there a balance there? Where's that line of, you know, better education versus how much money the schools get?
Well, while I'm quite sure increased money might solve some of the issues, I think fundamentally it's the school committee's responsibility to use the funds that are available, which includes the new $60 million school, you know, Woodland School, to bring us back from a level 3 school to a level 2 school. I don't think that this is something that the school committee can, or the school committee chairman, as he represents, you know, his budget increase, can say that it's because we don't have money, our school fell down. This is the leadership of the school committee that needs to, or the school committee chairman, to bring that improvement. And, you know, with all the money it's getting for all the other activities, I look forward to the leadership of the school committee and the school committee chairman making those improvements without substantial increases in funding.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Harold. I appreciate it.
Well, Zach, thank you very much. And I'm looking forward to the voting on next Tuesday. And I hope everyone votes.
Very good. Thank you.